بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, continuing with our discussion regarding our aqaid and beliefs, and one very important intention and niyat that we can make and we should make as we are seated here. Yesterday we had discussed the five different branches of deen, our aqaid and beliefs, our ibadat, our mu'amalat, business dealings, mu'asharat, social interactions, and our akhlaq. That by virtue of me sitting in this gathering, taking a little bit of time out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must allow this branch of deen to become kamil and perfect in my life. That our aqaid, our belief system is in accordance to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And as we had mentioned yesterday also, that the most important thing in the life of a believer is his aqaid and his beliefs. Even more important, ulama say, than his ibadat and his worship also. More important, more imperative than a person's salah, his zakat, his hajj, his fasting in the month of Ramadan, is his aqaid and his beliefs. In the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses two groups of people. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the first group, those whose gaze is on this world, on this dunya, al-ajila, that which is immediate. They do not desire the akhirat, the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding them, that we will give how much of this dunya we want to whomsoever we want. It does not mean that a person has desire and makes an effort for dunya, that he will get what he desires. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide and will give according to his decision. And then Allah mentions the second group, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ. That person whose gaze is on the akhirat, on the hereafter, his desire is to make it in the next life. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. And he makes a concerted effort. As Hazrat has been explaining in the last few majalis, that when it comes to our deen, then this will not just come to us. That a person sits back and we have an attitude of wishful thinking, that my Quran tilawat will come into my life, my salah will become correct, my ibadat will become correct, my aqaid will become correct. But a person has to make a concerted effort, a genuine effort from his side. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the condition, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. That a person has desire for the akhirat, he makes a concerted, genuine effort, and he does this with the condition of iman. His beliefs are correct. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. These are the people whose efforts and whose sacrifices will be appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know in this world, if a person says that I appreciate what you have done for me, person who is generous, wealthy, he has a lot to give, and he says to me that I appreciate what you have done for me, then we know what we can expect from such a person thereafter. The gifts that he will shower upon us, the blessings and bounties he will give to us. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of all of this, is saying, I will appreciate your efforts. But the clause, the condition, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. A person does this, he has desire for the akhirat whilst his iman is kamil and complete. So it is extremely important that our belief system is correct regarding our, what do we believe regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yesterday we had discussed three different aspects regarding our beliefs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the existence of Allah, Allah is wajibul wujud. And then the tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter the sifat, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his knowledge, his sight, his hearing, and all of these different attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are eternal with the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That from eternity, without any beginning, without having any end, all of these attributes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always possessed, Allah possesses them currently, and Allah will always possess them. And as we had mentioned yesterday also, Allah's attributes do not change. Allah's knowledge always was complete. Allah's sight, Allah's hearing, Allah's qada, Allah's decision, Allah's decree, all of these attributes were perfect and will remain perfect. Thereafter, the next belief that is discussed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of effects, qualities and specialities of elements, just as He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the elements itself. For example, just as He subhanahu wa ta'ala created fire and water, He also created heat in the fire and coolness in the water. If for any reason He wishes to remove these qualities, then He subhanahu wa ta'ala has the full ability to do so. And we know, ulama explained, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does with the means, without the means, and at times against the means. The famous incident of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam regarding when he had given da'wah to his people, inviting them to worship one Allah, and they had turned against him, his own household members, his family members turned against him, and that fire was prepared, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown into that fire. Then in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. Despite fire normally having the capacity to burn and having the quality and the attribute of heat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned it upside down. That now this fire became cool. It became a means of solace, comfort, peace for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a system in this world, the system of cause and effect. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not bound and restricted to this system. The system also is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With regard to outer means also, we find various incidents mentioned in the Quran Sharif, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times shows His qudrat and power. That despite me having a normal system in this world, but at times I will show you, to show my qudrat, to show my shan, to show that I am in control, I will go against that system also. Where we have many campaigns and battles that had taken place in the history of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the ummah that despite the outer means not being there, despite the army of the Muslims being very small in number, very ill-equipped, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the means such that they were then able to defeat very, very large armies with the permission of Allah. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not bound by His creation. Rather, Allah is the creator of this. If He wishes, He will allow these things to have an effect, and if He wishes, He will remove the effect from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of good and evil. Whilst He has created both, He prefers the good over the evil. Darkness and light, cleanliness and filth, angels and devils, pious and impious are all His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers the good over the bad. However, to attribute only evil to Allah is contrary to respect and etiquette. It is inappropriate to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of evil or the creator of filth and swine. One should rather say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything. So although it is part of our aqidah and belief that Allah did create the evil elements and the bad that takes place in this world, we find the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also, when he would make dua and he would address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ بِيَدَيْكَ. That, O Allah, all goodness is in your hands, in your control. Despite evil, harm, adversity also being in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but adab and etiquette demands that a person does not say this openly. Even in the dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he described to his people the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ, that being who created me and then gave me hidayat and guidance, وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ, that being who feeds me, who grants me to drink, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ, and that being who, when I become ill, then he gives me shifa and cure. Although ulama write, mufassirin say, that had he mentioned that being who gave me sickness and then gave me cure, this also would have been correct. Technically, Allah is the one who gives sickness also. But out of adab and respect, the sickness he didn't attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So although Allah is the creator of evil and the creator of good, adab and respect demands a person should say that Allah is the creator of everything rather than explicitly attributing evil to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from the qualities of the creation. He possesses all qualities of perfection. He is pure and free from all faults, deficiencies and innovations. He subhanahu wa ta'ala is not restricted to a body or matter, neither to place or time. He subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from temporary qualities like sitting, walking, eating, drinking, sickness, health, grief, old age and youth, etc. Even we find in the Quran Sharif where these so-called emotions are mentioned in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's anger, Allah's happiness, then here ulama of aqidah have mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change in His emotion. That one moment He is happy, the next moment He is angry or He is disappointed. Rather, the effect of these emotions can be seen. Generally, when a person is angry, then he will punish the person who he is angry with. person is happy, he will bestow some favor, some bounty upon the person he is happy with. So like this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his anger, what is actually meant is the punishment, the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he speaks about his happiness, then what is meant is his bounties, his favors, his reward that he will shower upon the person who he is happy with. He subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from limbs and body parts. In the Quran and Hadith, wherever such qualities are mentioned, then one of the following two approaches can be adopted. Very quickly we'll explain these two approaches. It's a bit of a technical discussion, but where we find in the Quran Sharif certain verses or certain ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that outwardly show the existence of body parts or of limbs or of makan and place for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the safest view, which was the view of our earlier scholars, the Salafus Salihin, was to attribute the knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows best. What is the exact intended meaning of these verses, these ahadith, and these descriptions mentioned? Allah knows best. We will not delve into it. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those who are firmly grounded in their knowledge. Allah says, those who are firmly grounded in ilm, then what do they say regarding these verses? آمَنَّا بِهِ. We believe in it, and it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not delve into the finer details. So this is the safest view. And then later, as time went on, and many misguided groups began to come, and the aqidah of the people became corrupt, then the ulama of Islam began attaching suitable interpretations to protect the iman, the beliefs of the masses. As an example, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his istiwa, or his settling on top of his throne, on top of the arsh. As we know, the arsh is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is free from having a physical body. Then here the ulama would explain that what is intended is that Allah has now assumed control over everything. Not that Allah is physically placed above his throne and his arsh. So like this, we make what is called tafweed. We submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He is, kama yaliqu bi sha'nihi, without delving into the finer details of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has comprehensive knowledge of all conditions that prevail in the world before they even occur, and He creates all conditions according to His knowledge. This is referred to as taqdeer. The discussion regarding taqdeer, my dear brothers, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has informed us that taqdeer is one of the things that a person has to know that he won't know. A person has to understand that he can't understand it. فَإِنَّهَا سِرُّ اللَّهِ, that this is a secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the inner workings and dimensions of taqdeer and predestination. This much we understand: Allah has decreed everything to take place from the time of the inception of the creation right till the day of Qiyamah. Allah has decreed everything. Allah has recorded this on the Lawh-e Mahfooz, which is the protected tablet which is in the heavens, and nothing can change the decree and the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding taqdeer, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu on one occasion demonstrated to the people, what do we understand and believe regarding taqdeer? So he mentioned to somebody in a gathering, there were many people who had gathered there, and they had posed this question to him. So he said to a person, that stand up and lift one foot off the ground. So the person did this. So he explained to him that you had no difficulty in doing this. You did it of your own accord, your own volition. This shows that Allah is not forcing you to do things. Person can't claim that I went and broke the command of Allah. I stole, or I committed zina, or I committed theft, or I did something wrong, and this is because it's my taqdeer, Allah made me do it. So he said, this shows that you have some control to do as you want to do. And then he told that person that now while your one leg is lifted up, now lift the other leg up also. So of course this is impossible. A person won't be able to do this. He might lift it up for a few seconds and then he'll fall down to the ground. So the person says, I'm unable to do so. So he explained to him, this shows you that you are not fully in control, but you are still dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like this, our understanding and belief is regarding taqdeer. That insan has the ability and the capacity to do as he wants to do. Allah has given that to us. But together with this, no person can act of his own accord without the permission and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, he commences the discussion regarding the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, what do we believe regarding them, their existence, the reason behind them coming into this world. Hazrat explained last night also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the people went astray and they began to abandon the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and certain vices and evil became prevalent in society, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a Nabi to reform the people. And the different Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam that came to reform the different communities for the different ills and vices. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam to guide the people, to bring them back onto as-siratul mustaqim, to bring them back onto the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama give an example that a person has a parcel or something that needs to be delivered to a location. So one is that he gives that parcel to somebody, to the driver for example, and he says to him, he gives him some vague instructions and directions, and he says to him, now you go and you find your way. And then one is a person who is a bit more compassionate, and he says that I will draw you a detailed map, that you should turn right when you reach this point, and then as you pass this supermarket, you will see a sign and you turn left, and 250 meters down the road, you turn right again. He gives him a detailed map, that this person very easily can find his way to his destination. And then one is a person that is even more compassionate. He has even more love and care, and he wants that person to reach his destination. So he says, leave the directions and leave the map, but I will get into the car with you and I will take you. I will guide you. I will show you where to turn. Or even better than that, you sit in the passenger seat and I will drive you and take you to the destination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's compassion upon us in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is more than the compassion that a mother has for her young child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just leave us in this dunya. That I am creating you, putting you here, sending the Quran Sharif to you with the do's and don'ts, and now you navigate your way through this dunya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His compassion, His love, His care for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, sent the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Shaykh al-Hadith Munafazul Rahman sahab, Damat Barakatuh, who mentions that the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah gave us as a marking memo. We know end of the year, matrix write the exams, and the examiner who is marking the paper has a marking memo. That if the student answered according to this memo, then he will pass the test. He will be given full marks. Allah gave us the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So that no ummati can say, I didn't know how to lead my life. So this was the reason for sending the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And thereafter he discusses the difference in rank amongst the various Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. In the beginning of the third para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن الرُّسُلِ. That we do not make a distinction as far as any of the Anbiya are concerned. We believe in every single one of them. But amongst the galaxy of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, individually between them, there is a difference in rank. We know Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the greatest Nabi of Allah's creation. And thereafter, the Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul, the great Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, some of whom are mentioned in the Quran Sharif. And thereafter, the others, one very important aqidah and belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that the rank of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam cannot be surpassed and cannot be reached by any non-Nabi. No matter how high a wali of Allah may become, how close he may become to Allah, how pious he may be, ulama say that the piety of any buzruk, any wali, any friend of Allah is in actual fact a sign of the, or rather a miracle of the Nabi of the time. The person is pious, he has become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his ittiba and his close following of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no matter how close a person becomes to Allah, he can never ever reach the rank of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final Nabi and Rasul. After him, no new messenger will appear. If a person lays claim to be a Nabi, one should never dare ask him for proof. A person makes a claim that he is a Nabi of Allah, then here he says a person should not even ask him for proof. That what proof do you have that you are saying you are a messenger? If one does so, he will lose his iman. Because it means we are creating some room for doubt, that maybe there is some truth in what you are saying. Let me hear your proof and see what you have to say. But rather from the very beginning a person says this is completely false, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was khatamun nabiyyin. Very explicitly mentioned in the Quran and also in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So if a person asks for proof, he will lose his iman, as this is a clear indication that he has some doubt in the matter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger to all man and jinn till the day of Qiyamah. His message is general and for the entire universe. After his coming, all other divinely revealed religions and missions of the past messengers are abrogated and cancelled. This is also a very important point, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent till the end of time. We find many of the modern groups, the modernists and those who are pushing a modernist agenda, will make the claim that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent to the Arabs for that time. His dressing, his sunnah, his teachings, when he comes to using the miswak, when he comes to dressing in a kurta, keeping a beard, hijab of the masturat, then all of this is restricted to the society of that time. These laws are not applicable to us any longer. We are now in the 21st century. But we find in the ahadith and in the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very clearly mentions that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has been sent lil alameen, for all the worlds until the day of Qiyamah. There will be no Nabi to come after him. His shari'at, his sunnat, his teachings will be implemented right till the day of Qiyamah. So no matter what era or what zamana a person may live in, he will be obliged to follow the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thereafter he discusses Hayatul Anbiya very briefly, that the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam are alive in their qubur, in their graves. Together with, we know, the shuhada, those who have been martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah blesses them with hayat, with life in their qubur. It is mentioned also when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was on the journey of Isra from Makkah Mukarrama to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, then en route he passed by a qabr, a grave, and he thereafter mentioned that I passed by the grave of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and I witnessed him performing salah in his grave. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. Likewise, some pious person, some shaheed, some martyr, if Allah wishes, Allah gives them the ability to do these a'mal in their qubur. But our aqidah and belief regarding all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, that they do have some level of hayat and life in their qubur. Of course, this life is not like the life of this world, but the laws are different pertaining to barzakh and the world that is between this world and the hereafter. But they do have some level of life. Their physical blessed bodies have been protected from decomposition. This belief is known as Hayatul Anbiya. Whenever someone stands at their graves and sends salam to them, they hear and reply. In their qubur, they are engaged in different forms of worship and tasks. These acts of worship are for enjoyment and not as a duty. Hazrat explained the other day also that this world is a place of effort. In the qabr, now a person's effort comes to an end. So the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam who are engaged in ibadat in the qubur, this is not as an obligation, that I owe this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fard salah. Rather they do it as an act of enjoyment, because they have enjoyed the salah, or they have enjoyed Quran tilawat, etc. So Allah allows them to now carry out these actions in their qubur. It is the view of the Ahlul Sunnah that that portion of land touching the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is more virtuous than every other place, including the Kaaba, the Arsh, the Kursi, etc. To visit the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not only mustahab, but amongst the greatest forms of worship and a means of attaining great reward. And we know the great virtue and status of that Mubarak piece of land where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is buried. The incident is mentioned, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has mentioned a tabi'i by the name of Atabi rahimahullah. He says, I was sitting in the haram of Madina Munawwara and I witnessed a Bedouin entering the masjid and he passed by the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he began reciting those verses of Quran. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they have oppressed themselves, they committed guna, sin, they have dirtied themselves with my disobedience, if they had to come to you, O Nabi of Allah, جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهِ, and they had to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ, and then the Nabi had to make istighfar on their behalf. لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا, they'll find Allah to be accepting of their repentance and very merciful to them. So this Bedouin comes and he recites this verse. And then he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, your command is that we should come to the Nabi of Allah. I have done this. Your command is that we should seek forgiveness. I am asking you to forgive me. And then he says, your next command is wastaghfara lahumur rasul, that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must make istighfar for us. So he then addresses Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, and he reads those verses of poetry that we have heard so many times before. Until today we will find inscribed on those gates that are surrounding the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya khayra man dufinat bilqa'i a'zumuhu, fataba min tibihin alqa'u walakamu, nafsi alfida liqabrin anta sakinuhu, fihi alafafu wa fihi aljudu walkaramu. He says, oh, the best of that being whose bones and whose body has gone beneath the ground. By virtue of your Mubarak body going beneath the ground, the bottom of the ground, like the top of the ground, has become fragranced and sweet. And then he says, may my soul be sacrificed for you, O Nabi of Allah, or for that qabr in which your body resides, in which are your qualities of generosity, of forgiveness, of compassion, of mercy. Saying this, he then sends salat and salam, and he then leaves the haram of Madinah Munawwara. Atabi rahimahullah falls asleep. And in his dream, he sees Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And he says to him that wake up quickly and go and catch that Bedouin, go and find him and inform him Allah has forgiven him by virtue of his salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it is the view of the Ahlul Sunnah that portion of land touching the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is more virtuous than every other place, including the Kaaba, the Arsh, the Kursi, etc. And to visit the grave of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is amongst the greatest forms of ibadat. As it explains to us also, a person goes to Madina Munawwara. One is somebody asks, where are you going for? Person says, I'm going for Umrah. Or, I'm going to Madina, I'm going to Makkah. But more than that, our intention and what we should be saying is, I'm going to visit Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to make ziyarat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Not just that I'm going to read in Masjid al-Nabawi or in al-Masjid al-Haram, but I'm going to visit Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Like this, we find this in itself is an act of ibadat and an act of great reward. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. As we had mentioned, these are taken from authentic ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which are very comprehensive protection for our lives, our wealth, our property, our children, forgiveness from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we'll just read again together, inshallah, what we had done yesterday. First is the dua for, or the prescription for protection against all evil. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahus Samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahus Samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahus Samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. Elimination of the grief of both the worlds. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. With regard to these du'as, my dear brothers, one is to recite them having hope in the reward that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, and together with that, for a person to really see the benefit, like in this particular prescription, to remove the grief of both the worlds, it's for a person to read it with feeling and understanding. That what is the meaning of this du'a? Hasbi Allah. Allah is sufficient for me. Hasbi Allah. Allah is sufficient for me. La ilaha illa hu. There is no ilah, no being worthy of worship, no deity besides him. Alayhi tawakkaltu. I have placed my trust upon him. Wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. And Allah is the Rabb. Allah is the owner. Allah is the creator of the great arsh. If Allah is the creator of the arsh, then my problems, my worries, my grief, these are very small in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah to remove them is very, very easy. A person reads the dua with understanding, knowing the translation, and with feeling in the heart, then it becomes more effective. Then dua for the angels to seek forgiveness on one's behalf. A'udhu billahi as-sami'i al-alimi minash shaytanir rajim. A'udhu billahi as-sami'i al-alimi minash shaytanir rajim. A'udhu billahi as-sami'i al-alimi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. Protection against leprosy, blindness, madness, and paralysis. Subhanallah al-azim wa bihamdih, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Subhanallah al-azim wa bihamdih, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Subhanallah al-azim wa bihamdih, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Protection of one's deen, life, family, and wealth. Bismillah ala deeni wa nafsi wa waladi wa ahli wa mali. بسم الله على ديني ونفسي وولدي وأهلي ومالي. بسم الله على ديني ونفسي وولدي وأهلي ومالي. Translation is that I take the name of Allah, I invoke the blessings of Allah upon my deen. Allah must look after, protect my deen. ونفسي, my own life. وولدي, my children. وأهلي, the rest of my family members. ومالي, and my wealth and property. Protection against all harm. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. Thereafter, durood tunjina has been mentioned, which although is not a morning and evening prescription, but a very, very potent and powerful prescription, durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The incident behind this particular durood is very lengthy. There was a pious person who was aboard a ship, a vessel, and a storm had broken out, and it was a very frightening experience. The people were fearful over their lives, and this pious person then was inspired, and he had seen in a dream, and these words of durood e tunjina were taught to him, that recite this, and by virtue of this you will be saved and protected. And after reciting this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then caused that storm to settle down, and the occupants or the inhabitants of that particular vessel were then saved. So we'll read this durood one time, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad salatan tunajjina biha min jami'il ahwali wal afat. This portion of the dua we can read in two ways. Salatan tunajjina, salatan tunjina. Both have been mentioned. صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير. Thereafter, protection against witchcraft. Again, this is a dua that a person can read, again not necessarily in the morning and evening, which is also a verse of Quran. فَلَمَّا أَلْقَوْ قَالَ مُوسَى مَا جِئْتُمْ بِهِ السِّحْرِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُبْطِلُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُصْلِحُ عَمَلَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ وَيُحِقُّ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. The person can read this 3 times or as many times as he wants for protection from against witchcraft. Protection against evil fate and severe calamities. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, O people, seek Allah's protection against severe calamities, trials and tribulations, misfortunes, wretchedness, evil fate, and the taunts and malicious joy of the enemy. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jahdil bala, wa darakil shaqa, wa su'il qada, wa shamatatil a'da. Very comprehensive dua that a person can read at any time. Gaining Allah's guidance and protection against the evils of the heart. Allahumma alhimni rushdi wa a'idhni min sharri nafsi. Imran bin Hussein radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his father, Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu anhu, the following two du'as, which he used to read continuously. So this du'a, which has two portions to it. Allahumma alhimni rushdi. O Allah, inspire me with correct guidance in my affairs. Wa a'idhni min sharri nafsi. And protect me from the evil of my nafs, from the evil of my soul. And thereafter, the Sayyidul Istighfar. Hazrat Shaddad bin Aus radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that Sayyidul Istighfar, the loftiest of all types of repentance, is that a servant says the following. This also we should make it our habit, at least to recite once in the morning, once in the evening. Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtani wa ana abduk. وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. Just one more. Savior from shirk khafi. Shirk khafi refers to minor shirk, minor form of ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person doesn't engage in idol worship, but he does actions and he does deeds for show, for ostentation. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had taught this dua to Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu as a protection against shirk khafi. It should be recited 3 times. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an ushrika bika shay'a wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an ushrika bika shay'a wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an ushrika bika shay'a wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. And thereafter, the most comprehensive of du'as, which we have heard many times in the du'a, a person makes this, then it includes all of the du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made in his entire 23 years of nubuwat. Here we can see, my dear brothers, the total du'as mentioned here, prescriptions, are just 13. We have 10 days of i'tikaf. Some of these are not morning and evening du'as. As an example, the du'a for protection against witchcraft, etc. So if we break it down, there's more or less 10 prescriptions, 10 wazaif. If we take one a day, already 2 days have gone by, so we can catch up, inshallah. But we take one a day, the 3 quls we all know, and make it our goal, inshallah, by the end of this i'tikaf, by the end of Ramadan, that we memorize these du'as, inshallah. Even if we don't memorize them, but at least we become... the words become easy on our tongues, and like this it becomes easy for us to read them every morning and evening, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq. Make zikr and dua, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum, ana jalisu man dhakarani. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله تعالى شأنه الله 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 جل جلاله الله 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 جل جلاله الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين
ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم اغفر لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم تجاوز عن أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين.
We have about 10 minutes left for Salatul Ishraq, inshallah. As Hazrat reminded us and explained to us yesterday, person who will remain seated in his place after Fajr Salah, as we have done, alhamdulillah. And thereafter, after the sun rises to a certain extent, which is the time for Ishraq, then a person will read 2 rakats of Salah, then he will get the reward of a complete Hajj and Umrah. Hazrat explained yesterday also, that one is the expense and the time it takes for a person to book and then to pack his luggage and to go to the airport and the entire journey and all the difficulties that come with it. Here by us remaining seated without much effort, without any expenditure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to give us reward of a complete Hajj, complete Umrah. A person goes for Hajj and Umrah, he doesn't know if his Hajj and Umrah is accepted, whether he's done it with ikhlas, with sincerity, his amal are correct. But here we are guaranteed reward of an accepted Hajj and Umrah. And a person adds 2 more rakats to that, and he reads 4 rakats total, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of all of his needs for that day. So this is a very great bargain. We have a few minutes left, inshallah. We can engage in Quran tilawat, some dua, and thereafter wa salatul ishraq, inshallah.